Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 53. Hearing the Lord's pastimes. Now we will cite an example of hearing about the Lord's pastimes, as Sri Shuka said, quote, "By hearing the Lord's pastime, one develops knowledge by which the waves of the material qualities are completely quelled. The mind becomes delighted, the senses become detached from sense objects, and one attains kaivalya, or liberation, the approved path leading to bhakti yoga. Therefore, who would not develop attachment to the pastimes of Lord Hari after relishing them once?" Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.12. If possible, there's a way to mute the phone. I think you press 6 or something. I think someone, I hear what's going on in the back there. All right, well, someone is in a room full of people that haven't muted the phone. So... okay. Hi, Bo. So this is Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Deepa Goswami's essay on bhakti as abhideya. Abhideya means the means to realize the absolute truth. Abhideya and the in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the means to realize the absolute truth is bhakti. Because aversion or non-devotion is why we're covered from God. And therefore the means to understand God as the absolute truth again is to reverse what caused our ignorance of it. And that's bhakti, which is characterized by worship or turning the consciousness towards the absolute truth. We're in the section now where Jiva Goswami is describing the different practices of Vaidhi Bhakti. Begins with Sharanagata, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, having faith that our relationship with Krishna will fulfill our needs. And one who has that sense, he's never in anxiety, because he can chant the holy name, perform devotional service, and has full confidence that he's protected. Then it's a progression we're describing, and then there's satseva, sadhu sangha, and now we're on shravanam, or hearing about the Lord. First, I should say greetings from Rehoboth Beach. I'm here helping to participate in a writing retreat. This is the Bhakti Sandarbha. The BBT is translating all the Sandarbhas. So they've just finished the Tattva Sandarbha. Jayadvaita Gopi Pranadana Prabhu is the main translator, and Jayadvaita Swami is the main editor. And they needed a place to meet to finish it for 2 or 3 weeks, where they read it together and go over it to get that very high BBT standard. So I recommended one of my retreat places, the house of Shastra Prabhu in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So they're here. And by coincidence, Umapati Swami also came to finish his book on Prabhupada, which is going to be one of the most wonderful books on Srila Prabhupada. Of course, he was... in the first initiation. And it's a very, very wonderful book, and he happens to be an exceptionally gifted writer. He was actually a journalist. He actually joined the movement in 1965 when he was 29. So he's 70 years old now. It looks good. And every morning, our morning program, besides our chanting japa before breakfast, we all congregate and we hear his writing. And it's really wonderful because it's telling, at least at the very beginning, the story of Prabhupada through the eyes of someone who was basically, you know, kind of like an intellectual hippie who just joins, you know, competent person. He was a sound engineer, very intelligent person. He speaks fluent Chinese. He's preaching in China. He just visited Brazil, listened to some tapes, and within 1 month he was giving classes in Portuguese. He's quite a wonderful person, a very good-hearted person. And his vision, it's very nice, because you see Prabhupada through those eyes. You see him in the midst of people who are immensely unqualified, and you see Prabhupada's degree of tolerance. Described once, he didn't have any money because he joined. So he followed Prabhupada back to his room in Second Avenue, and Prabhupada needed a fuse for his dictaphone. So Umapati Swami said, "Prabhupada, I need 35 cents." And Prabhupada said, the disciple should not ask the spiritual master for money. He said, "Prabhupada, but I don't have any money. I need 35 cents. He said, "The disciple should not ask the spiritual master for money." Then he said, "Prabhupada, it's for your dictaphone." He said, "The disciple should not ask the spiritual master for money." And then Prabhupada gave him 35 cents. So it's a very sweet mood. You actually see how little Prabhupada, in other words, they didn't even know what initiation was when they were getting initiated. So it's a very, very sweet, so we're listening to that. Anyway, we're on this process of hearing, and hearing, Prabhupada said, is the first essential. Because bhakti means to absorb the consciousness in God. That's the process. And by absorbing the consciousness in God, our natural attraction for God or Krishna manifests. That's the whole process of bhakti. Bhakti means to be, the process of bhakti is absorbing the consciousness in the absolute truth. That's what bhakti means. Bhakti means devote. You don't absorb yourself in something unless there's some affection. And unless you absorb yourself in something which you have affection for, your affection will increase. That's called worship. So there's different ways of absorbing the consciousness of God. And we should say Krishna. And hearing and chanting are the most powerful. There's three that are the most powerful, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. Or if you have a throat lozenge, it seems that somehow my throat is going. It may not last the class. So, and the spiritual master, he's expert in devising ways and means for the disciple to absorb his consciousness on Krishna. The main principle of regulated practice devotional service or sadhana bhakti practice devotion is to remember Krishna and not forget him. So hearing is the first essential. And hearing means that the ear contacts the name, form, qualities, or pastimes of Krishna. There's nam shravan. You hear the name, there's Rup Shravan, you hear about the form of Krishna. There's Guna Shravan, you hear about Krishna's qualities, like his compassion. Parama Karuna Pahu Dulijana. There's no one more merciful than Krishna. This is Guna Kirtan. And then there's Lila Kirtan, hearing about the pastimes. Hearing about Krishna also means to hear about his devotees. And Jiva Goswami, because the pramana or the evidence for establishing what he's saying is the Bhagavatam, he mostly gives very wonderful and powerful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very, very comprehensive. And So he discussed that, and then he discussed also after that the powerful realization from comes from this process of hearing. That's what's so nice about hearing and chanting, you know, being in kirtan and hearing katha, that's engaging. That's why it's so important if you want to have a successful center of Krishna consciousness, it means you have to make people Krishna conscious. Therefore, the hearing and chanting has to be attractive. It has to be engaging. It's the most important thing. It should be a person that can inspire people in chanting and hearing, because then the consciousness becomes absorbed and the process works. Even in terms of this humble class that I'm trying to give, I did it with that particular understanding that there are people, especially in different parts of the world, different parts of the country, that they're not in there's not sadhu sangha. They're either isolated from it, or the particular places don't present the quality that engages them, whatever the case is. It's not in all places. But still, and those that are interested, they can hear more. Also, for people who are married and children, they're in their house, the children can, you know, there's an opportunity in the modern life in this type of phone sangha to hear. And I'm seeing, actually, and it's very rewarding to me, the practical results. You know, bhakti, as it's said, this is definitely in the Sandarbhas it's presented, the, you know, that if bhakti is moving towards the goal of Krishna or God, or if spiritual life is moving towards the moving towards God, then the tracks that move the consciousness of the jnana marg is vairagya, but of bhakti, it's sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. And what does sadhu sangha mean? Sadhu sangha means that it's a person that is more advanced, that you're swajatiya, that there's some like-mindedness in terms of at least the same family, and that there's some relationship. And that inspires the hearing and the absorption. And if one hears with faith, then he advances the absorption, the understanding, and you get the philosophical understanding that leads to more dedication and more absorption and more understanding of the importance of the devotional service. Then the process is that as the consciousness becomes more absorbed, people advance. There's actually an effect of that. And I'm seeing it, you know, very practically, and that gives me some solace and hope for myself also. So this is the process, this absorption, and hearing is such a powerful medium. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, the first verse, which is the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which is considered the bhakti section. The first is Karma Mishra Bhakti. The last 6 are Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But Shuddha Bhakti, pure bhakti, is in the first, the middle 6, beginning with the 7th chapter. And verse 7.1 of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the verse in Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada lectured on, more than any other verse, describes this process of bhakti which begins from hearing. Mayasakta mano partha yogam yunjan manasvaya asam sayam samagrama yatagyas yasi tatrinu. Just hear from me, in full consciousness of me, mind attached to me, you will come to me, without doubt. So this is the process, just hear. And what happens from hearing? Just hear from me in full consciousness of me. The consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna. And then the attachment to Krishna comes, and then you come to Krishna. So there's a fact. So here in Anuchet 253, which I started off today, the section is called Hearing Leads to Realization. So here is how it works. Did I read it? Okay. No, okay. Anyway, I'll go back. So hearing, then it describes realization. So it says in the assembly of devotees, there are always talks about the virtues of the Lord. So sadhu sangha means you associate with devotee, you hear. was praised in choice poetry. Such talks put an end to mundane talks, topics. If a person desiring liberation hears these topics of the Lord's qualities every day, he or she awakens true realization of Lord Vasudeva. The word is satim mati, that the intelligence becomes chaste, it becomes fixed on God. That's the effect of hearing. It becomes it awakens that consciousness. Your consciousness becomes drawn to God, and you can attain liberation. So that's a person desiring liberation who hears. What to speak of a person who is hearing out of affection for Krishna? How much more advancement he makes, how much more absorbed he becomes. So this is this effect of hearing. And again, I like to explain this because this is the process that we're doing right here, chanting and hearing about Krishna and that absorption. Then, I'm giving a little bit summary, I'm going to go on. Then what happened is it gave a very nice description of the effects of not hearing. And this is classic logic in terms of explaining Shastra. If you want to explain the glories of something, you explain the results of doing it, and you explain the effects of not doing it. So it gives a very, very powerful verse. This is Anuchet 252, and then we'll come up to where we are today and go further. Very, very nice that it gives this wonderful verse where it describes, I'm going to read the verse, who other than the slayer of animals or a killer of the soul could desist from hearing the recitation of the virtues of the glorious Lord, which is partaken of constantly by those who are free from the thirst for sense pleasure, which is the cure for the disease of material existence, and which is the ambrosia for the ears and the heart. So this is very interesting. Hearing in this verse has three adjectives. The first one is those who hearing is for the liberated. In other words, it's three adjectives. It means which people will hear about Krishna. So it has three adjectives of those hearing about Krishna. The first is nivritta taishir upagiyamana, those who have no thirst for this world. So those who are liberated will hear. Then it has those who are looking for a cure to the disease of material existence. So who else will hear? The liberated, those aspiring for liberation. And who else will hear? The third, it's ambrosia for the ears and hearts. So those who are designed to enjoy, the sense gratifiers will hear. So who will not hear? Only one person will not hear. Who can desist? It's so wonderful, this chanting and hearing, that people aspire for liberation, want it. People have no desire in this material world, want it. Those who want to finish material existence want it, and those who want to enjoy in this world want it. So who will not hear? Pashuga. Who's Pashuga? Pashuga is one, the killer of the animals. He will not hear. Those who desensitize their heart, only those who desensitize their heart by cruelty, which means either they've committed, they're physically violent, or one who takes pleasure in criticizing others will not hear Krishna Katha. And you see that. If you want to go on the tabloids, you know, Krishna, I can't call them Krishna conscious tabloids, but so-called Vaishnav tabloids, and your ears perk up when people are criticized, then you won't have a taste for Krishna Katha. You'll lose your taste for Krishna Katha if you're looking for the defects in others by criticism. So very interesting, Pashugya. Anyway, the main thing of the verse, it calls attention to the fault of those who are oblivious to hearing the narration. Only that person is so attractive, it's so wonderful, it fulfills all the needs. So that was there. And now hearing the pastime. So we finished the Nam Shravan, the Rupa Shravan, hearing about the Lord's form, his beautiful form. I gave verses before. Baharpi da biramam migamata tilakam kundala ganta ganta. The Lord's hearing about the Lord's form. It's very nice to learn these verses as what's called mantra upasana. Mantra upasana is a mantra will paint a picture of the Supreme Lord for you to meditate on. So you have Biharpi da biramam, the peacock feather of Krishna on his head. Isn't it wonderful, the Supreme Lord, a peacock feather on his head? Can you imagine how beautiful that is? You think of Krishna. In the forest of Vrindavan, Biharpi Dabi, Nigamata Tilakam, and his tilak made of Kundala Grantakan, and his shark-like earrings coming to his ears. I get different verses mixed up. What is the next line of this one? Kanjaksham, lotus eyes, Kambukatam, Smitasubhaga Mukam, the beautiful smile. Swadare Nyastavenum, playing that flute, Shyamam, that blue color. Shantim, Kanika Patisam, golden, silken, dhoti. Ushitam, Vaijiantam, Chima, so the form. Now we've heard about this. Now there'll be verses of the Lord's pastime. So this is Lila Kata, and he puts a little effort into this. So this is the verse. By hearing the Lord's pastimes, Lila, what happens? You develop knowledge. You hear about Krishna's Lila, his pastimes. You develop a little understanding of Krishna, by which the waves of material qualities are completely quelled. Beautiful. And then, therefore, what happens is you hear about Krishna, his Lila, his pastimes. And it's a fact. We just have to be in the right atmosphere, in the right situation and hearing. And there's nothing more wonderful. I do appreciate in Vrindavan, sometimes I get to lecture on the 10th canto and talking about Krishna's pastimes in an appropriate way. And it has a powerful effect. The waves of the material mind are quelled because the mind is searching. The mind is searching for fulfillment. There's a lacking within us, and the mind is searching to fulfill that lack. And what it's really searching for is Krishna. What it's really searching for is love. So when you hear Lila, Lila is pastime. Pastimes mean the activities of pure love. So when you hear the activities of pure love, of God, and his relationship with his devotees, then the material quality, the waves, become quelled. And then when the waves become quelled, the mind becomes delighted. And then when the mind becomes delighted, it means the consciousness is filled and you become detached. You don't need anything else. It's a fact. You know, we search in different ways for sensual and egoistic pleasure and we're never satisfied. But when we sit in kirtan or hear good katha and somehow perform that austerity, all of a sudden we become satisfied. And in that regard, for those of you who are listening, I did speak to Bibi Govinda Swami, and he is coming to our festival in the Panihati both days. And, that second day, from 10:30 to 2 or 3.5, 4 hours, we do want to sit together in a peaceful mode and relish, very, very sweet kirtan, and other people will also be doing kirtan, just to experience that complete satisfaction of heart. Of course, that's Nam. That's hearing the name. That's hearing the name. But we'll also do some kirtan of maybe Krishna's pastimes also. And this is the one attains Kaivalya, or liberation, the approved path leading to bhakti. So you get Kaivalya. Kaivalya means bhakti. It means pure bhakti. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti. Worship, the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the only way to attain pure devotional service. So Kaivalya, this path, and therefore who would not develop attachment to the pastimes of Lord Hari after relishing them once? Now, I'm just going to read the purport a little bit. This is a difficult medium just for reading, but the pronoun yat, in which, here refers to the pastimes of the Lord. So it said yat, but it meant in which, in the pastimes, by hearing. So knowledge is wakened in the midst of hearing such pastimes. Naturally, knowledge awakens because you have experience of reality. That's the highest form of knowledge. Someone can tell you there's a good meal, but if you taste the meal, then you have knowledge of that meal. So knowledge automatically awakens by the consciousness being fixed on Krishna. You get experience. And that's why I like to preach the Bhagavad Gita. I remember when I was doing the first canto, I had this very, very good student named James. He was with me for a year and a half. He was such a qualified hearer. And I would speak, and he would engage his intelligence trying to understand it, and I would engage my intelligence trying to explain it. But it wasn't an intellectual experience. It was experiential, because the Bhagavatam is not different than Krishna. You would experience God. That's the highest knowledge. So knowledge is the awakened in the midst of hearing such pastimes. What is the nature of this knowledge? It completely quells the sum total of the waves of the material qualities, which manifests as attachment and other forms of bondage. It's a fact. As a result of the cessation of the waves of material existence, the self attains... Someone just came on, and I can hear them, so please mute your phone or your computer or whatever it is. Hello? Still some problem. The self attains satisfaction through hearing the stories of the Lord. From this inner satisfaction, one develops it. What more can I say? The result of this detachment is Kaivalya, which is the approved path or the gateway leading to bhakti, known as praying. All this happens simply by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, even without a desire for such achievement. So if one innocently hears it without even desiring praying, this happens. Constantly, who would not develop love for hearing the Lord's pastimes after experiencing the satisfaction of hearing such pastimes or awakening detachment from all else? So this is hearing. And the question is, well, why does it happen to me? Well, you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to submit yourself to hearing in the proper attitude, the proper desire. Now, Anuchet 254. So we're going to explain something more. Now, this describes there's two types of Lila Katha. We're talking about the pastimes of the Lord. So there's actually two types of Lila Katha. So here, very interesting point. Jiva Goswami says, what more can be said about the greatness of hearing the Lord's pastimes? The Mahapurana, known as Srimad Bhagavatam, was manifest solely for this purpose. So what can you say about the greatness of hearing? The Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all the Vedas, and that's told in the story of the Bhagavatam itself, was manifest for this purpose. The sages of Namasharanya, what was their question? What is the ultimate and absolute good? What is the essence of the scripture? And the answer is, it's the Bhagavatam. So what's the purpose of the Bhagavatam? The purpose of the Bhagavatam, what's the purpose of the Vedas? The purpose of the Vedas, the purpose of the Vedas is what? It's to fulfill the purpose of this world. And what's the purpose of this world? It's a facility to liberate you. That's what this world is for. The world is a chance. The world is a chance for us to get liberated, to get purified. This is really good. Yeah, not now. Just shut that door, please. So let me get this point here. So this world, the Vedas, it's described that this universe comes from the pores of the Supreme Lord, and with the universe, the same breathing that creates the universe gives knowledge of how to use it. That's the Vedas. Use it for what? Use it for the purpose of the universe, which is to help us become realized. So the essence of all the Vedas is the Mahapurana. So what's the greatness of this pastime? That the essence of the Vedas, the purpose of that the purpose of it's manifest solely to give us subject matter to hear. So hearing, it fulfills the essence. It's the whole purpose of this world. The whole purpose of this world is to get out. And what's the best method, which is the essence of all Vedas? It shows the greatness of hearing. But the whole purpose of the Vedas is liberation. And the essence of the Vedas is subject matter for hearing about Krishna. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, and Jiva Goswami kind of, he quotes from the Bhagavatam in 158, O Vyas, for the most part, you have not described the pure fame of the Lord. I consider that knowledge to be incomplete, which does not satisfy the Lord. So Vyasadeva, when he was trying to give the Vedas, then what was his problem? He didn't describe the Lord. He didn't give enough subject matter for hearing. And therefore, if Krishna is not known, a scripture is incomplete. He didn't get it, Vyasadeva. He didn't get it because Krishna was not known directly enough. God was not known directly enough. And therefore, it wasn't fulfilling the purpose of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo vedanta vid veda eva of all the Vedas, I am to be known by this process of hearing. So just see how important this process of hearing. I'm going to say what we're doing right now, if we can achieve it properly, if we can perform the austerity, if we can hear, if I, by God's grace, by Prabhupada's grace, can present it in an engaging way, it does two things. It gives us subject matter for hearing, and it fixes up the intelligence with the determination to do the right thing, which is absorb the consciousness in Krishna. A little bit later on in verse 13 of the fifth chapter, it says, O greatly blessed sage, your vision is flawless, your fame is pure, you are dedicated to truth and established in vows. Therefore, in order to liberate all living beings from bondage, you should meditate on the pastimes of the Lord in trance and therefore describe those pastimes. Why? So we can hear about those pastimes. So this is Narada telling you, so great, but to liberate from bondage. Who? Us. Describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Why? So we can hear about those pastimes. And by hearing about those pastimes, when Krishna is all attractive, we'll absorb our consciousness in God, and by absorbing our consciousness in God, we will develop attachment for Him. And that's perfection. What's perfection? Perfection is a desire. And what's the desire of perfection? It's love for God, because we are made of God, we are made for God, and our purpose is to love Him. And when we act according to our natural purpose, then we're in that transcendental realm, rasa vaisaha. He is love and relationship with Him. We're here in this world only because we want to be non-devotees. That's why we're here. So when we develop the desire to be devotees, which means we're attracted to Krishna and therefore we want to love and serve Him, we transcend this world. So in order to liberate all living beings, you should meditate and describe these. The pastimes of the Lord are two types. Those which relate to the activities of creation, and those which consist of pure pleasure, being the expressions of those incarnations who descend simply for the sake of play. So there's two types of hearing. You can hear about creation, or you can hear of those which consist of pure pleasure. What is pure pleasure? It's love and relationship. You can hear about God creating this world. You can hear about the activities of God in exchange with his devotees. Of these two, the second type is superior. As Brahma told Narada, and this is a very, very interesting verse. So this is what Brahma told Narada. O sage, besides this, scriptures primarily describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which remove the defects of hearing mundane topics. I will describe these incarnations to you in order. Please drink the nectar of these beautiful topics. So this is the cyclic succession. The cyclic succession is Krishna, enlightened Brahma, and Brahma enlightened Narada. This is when Narada is enlightening. Now, it's very interesting. The scriptures, he says, primarily describe the pastimes, the leelas, which remove the defect of hearing mundane topics. So it's very interesting, this idea. What's mundane topic? It's called gramya katha, the talk of the village. And how's that described? It's described as the disease of the ear. So what's the disease of the ear? We like to hear mundane topics. That's the disease of the ear. We like to hear mundane topics. And what destroys the disease of the ear, which is the desire to hear mundane topics? It's hearing of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The disease of the ear. Why? Because hearing mundane topics invokes the, it's all about the false ego and the material condition. Why do we like to hear Gramya Katha, village talk? It's all about the false ego. It keeps one in this world. And therefore, that's the source of all suffering. What's the suffering? The suffering is the identification with the body. Why do we have the body? False ego. False ego, hankar. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the controller. And God fulfills that desire by allowing us to think we're the controller, the enjoyer, which is reflecting our consciousness on the body and identifying with it. And the suffering's in relationship to the body. Greatest suffering, the greatest fear is death. What is death? Death is the illusion of non-existence for one who thinks the body, which is temporary, is the true self. And that's actually the root of all suffering. So it's all based on the disease of the ear. So this is the cure, he says. And early in the chapter, because this is showing the superiority of the pastimes, earlier in the chapter, because this is 2.6.46, begin with 42nd verse. Brahma spoke about the original Supreme Lord's incarnations, how he initiates the creation, his energy, such as time, the byproducts such as of the creation, such as the mind, Lord's incarnations of Brahma, who oversee the working material qualities, and beings empowered specific potencies to assist in the unfolding of the creation, such as the, through all this, Brahma related the pastimes of the Lord in connection with creation. So this is what happened first. Yet in contrast to this, in this verse, Brahma declares to the sage, quoted above, that he will describe the pastimes after creation. Now this verse, he says, or sage, besides this, all this other stuff about creation, the scriptures primarily describe, the most important thing is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Is leelas. And which are the primary, which are directly perceived, established in the heart, which drain all the poison from the ear, thus destroying all interest in hearing other topics. And moreover, they're supremely captivating. Brahma says, drink deeply the description of these past times of incarnation in the order I shall describe. So it's a list of all the Leela avatars, how the Supreme Lord comes to establish subject matter to hear it to him. And therefore, there's that famous verse, Puritanaya sadhanam vanashaya chudutskritam. He comes to destroy the miscreants and protect the devotee. So I think the verse is, well, why does he have to come to protect the devotee? He's destroyed. He can do that indirectly. But he comes himself. Because what's protecting the devotees? What does protection mean? Krishna's protection for us is his protection of our devotion. That's his real protection. And therefore, to protect our devotion, he may take away things materially. He may even make a situation where we lose our body. If he sees that, let's say God sees that in this present life, in this use of the body, we're going to destroy our devotion, he may take away the body to protect our devotion. That's what it means that God protects us. He protects our bhava or devotion. So, so this is it. Now, I'm going to read, oh boy, this is a little bit technical subject matter, and I have a sense of the audience. I have to keep it exciting. Let's just finish the class today, and I'll ask for some questions. This is the next Anuchet. He's still discussing Lila Katha, how important it is to hear the Lord's pastimes. Praise of the Lord's pastimes could also be found in the prayers of the personified Vedas, so that's significant. The Vedas in the 10th canto, they are personified, and they speak. So what are the Vedas that are personified? They say, O Lord, you manifest various forms in order to reveal the truth about yourself, which is very difficult to fathom. So you come. It's very difficult to understand. You've come, and your stories are a great ocean of nectar. And those who dive into the ocean are relieved of all fatigue. We're exhausted in this world. We're exhausted in this world from what? From trying to be the enjoyer and controller. We're exhausted. And we're exhausted because our hearts are not satisfied. And the heart is satisfied by love or devotion. We're not satisfied. So what will bring that love or devotion and fill our hearts with love and devotion? It's Krishna. And the descriptions of Krishna is all attractive, which will invoke the attachment and love in our heart. So that exhaustion of not experiencing full love is satisfied in the ocean of nectar. Having abandoned their homes due to the association with the swan-like devotees who relish your lotus feet, they do not even yearn for salvation. Therefore, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the objectival compound Lila Tavanurita, fond of his own pastime incarnation, used to describe the Lord. This answers that this is in the first canto. One of the questions was asked why the Lord appeared to Devaki and Vasudev. So why did he appear? The Lord, the sustainer of all planets, accepting pastime incarnations among the gods, animals, and maintains all living beings by the quality of goodness. He maintains all living beings. How does he maintain all living beings? With his pastime incarnations. And what's real life? Real life is Krishna. Okay, one more. Praise of the Lord's pastimes is also found in the Gita. This particular verse in the Gita, one time I heard Brahmananda Swami, Prabhupada asked, he told me this, he said, Prabhupada said, which is the most important verse in the Gita? And many people mentioned many things. One time I was in Prabhupada's room in Dallas, Texas, and Prabhupada said, you call yourself teachers, now what is the purpose of education? I remember Dayananda was the headmaster. He was sitting next to Prabhupada. And he said 9 things, Prabhupada. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasthapanam. Prabhupada said, yeah, okay, that's maybe, that's... Prabhupada was looking for something more specific. Another person said 4 things. Manmano, Bhava, Madhbhakto, Majin, Yajima. You worship, you remember Krishna, you bow down. Prabhupada said, yes, yes. Then Prabhupada gave the verse he wanted. I wanted something more specific. Guruna sasyat swajanina sasyat. Don't become a guru. Don't become a father. Don't become the head of a government unless you can liberate the person you're responsible for. So here, Prabhupada, what is the Bhagavad Gita verse? And Prabhupada said, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takvadeyam punajamanati. Janma karma chame, one who knows the transcendental nature of my birth, janma karma, and my activities, takvadeyam punajamanati, he will not take birth again in this world. So, so janma refers to what? Birth. And after birth, these are the leelas. So one who, my birth and activities, janma karma, are transcendental. He who knows them in truth is not reborn. After, he doesn't take birth again. Janma karma, he knows those activities in reality, and therefore he aspires for them, he hears about them. Okay, somehow or other, ending a little bit early today. Are there any questions today? Well, I'll stop.
Hello, Maharaj.
Hargo, who is that?
Hello, Maharaj.
Who is that?
Maharaj, this is Baladev from Mexico.
Baladev, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Any questions?
Yes. I was going to ask that. Since you've, now that we're primed, I wondered if you could tell us a couple Krishna pastimes.
Okay. You want to hear a particular Krishna pastime now that you're primed? Okay.
Just something that comes to mind.
Okay. Let's see.
Please do that a little.
All right. Maybe I can tell something. I'll see. Well, okay. Well, one of my favorite pastimes, of course, in just a way, because what is the pastime or leela? The pastime or leela is, it's the spiritual world. And what's the spiritual world? The spiritual world is rasa vaisaha. What's happening? There's the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord wants to enjoy. And how does he enjoy? The way he wants to enjoy. And what's the way he wants to enjoy? He wants to enjoy love. So he wants to exchange, which is pleasure potency, which is love of Godhead. That's the pleasure. And as he enjoys love, then the devotees who love him also enjoy. So that's the spiritual world. So there's lila or pastimes, and they're just to invoke the sentiments of the devotees. So I like that pastime where Krishna goes to the bank of the... He's just swallowed the forest fire. And he swallowed the forest fire, and we should have a nice image of Krishna. And then he's going to the bank of the Jamuna, and in the spiritual world, all the devotees are always doing kirtan. That's why when people say, what is our practice of Raganuga Bhakti? What does Raganuga Bhakti mean? Raganuga Bhakti means that you follow the Ragatmaka devotees. Ragatmaka devotees mean one who are pure and have love in their heart. And by hearing about them, you aspire to become like them. And therefore, you try to take their bhav and emulate their activities. And so what are they doing in the spiritual? They're always doing kirtan. But it's a special type of kirtan. The kirtan is coming deeply from the heart in pure devotion. You can imagine, like, we like good singers. Sometimes they say Stevie Wonder or some type of thing, you know, where it appears that the song is not born from the mind, it's born from the heart, from the bhav. And that's the spiritual world. The spiritual world, the singing is an expression of the rag or the devotion for Krishna. And when people are happy, they're always singing. So in the spiritual world, there's always kirtan. So the cowherd boys, they're going through the forest, but they're thirsty, but still they're always doing kirtan. When the residents of Vrindavan, the first day Krishna went to the forest, and the residents of Vrindavan, they're in such separation from Krishna, and they're waiting by the edge of Vrindavan, the town of Nandagram, and they're waiting, and then they see in the forest, they see the padaduli, they see the dust coming from the cows. And then what do? Then they hear the singing, the kirtan of the cowherd boys. Can you imagine the kirtan of the cowherd boys? The singing? And the kirtan means sometimes they're doing nam kirtan, sometimes they're doing lila kirtan. Yasomati nandana braja bara nagara. Gokula Ranjana Kana. So they're singing. Imagine hearing that kirtan. You see, so the difference between the kirtan of the cowherd boys and our kirtan right now is our kirtan is done with the purpose of getting devotion. The kirtan of the cowherd boys is a product of their devotion. It's a little bit different. But the way that you attain perfection is that you try to emulate the siddhas of those that are perfect. For example, there's many reasons we do ekadasi, but one reason we do ekadasi is why? Because what is ekadasi? Ekadasi is the day of Lord Hari. So when you love someone, you celebrate their birthdays, you celebrate their days. Right? You can just think of someone you love. When they have their birthday, then you become very, very joyous. So when the great souls and it's ekadasi and they become excited that this is the day of Lord Hari, they become so excited, what do? Their devotion is expressed in kirtan. They begin singing the glories of Krishna and they forget to eat. So the day of Lord Hari, ekadasi, is we emulate them. So we reduce our bodily needs and increase our chanting. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. The cowherd boys, they're singing and they're doing kirtan, and then they go to the bank of the Jamuna River, and they take the water, but because it's poison, they actually die, but near death. And then Krishna comes and sees the condition. And his glance, we can just take one aspect, what is the spiritual world like? Krishna's glance revives their consciousness. So imagine if we're in that position. But we don't have the devotion. But imagine, we get the glance of Krishna awakens us from death. All of a sudden we drink the poison, we turn, we're dying, right? And then what happens? We're revived. And what are we revived by? We're revived by the glance of Krishna. What's the glance of Krishna? We love Krishna. What's the glance of Krishna? The glance of Krishna is his love for us. So we're awakened by this loving glance. We can also imagine some attachment or love you have for someone, and they glance at you with affection. Imagine if you're, who's ever sitting there, imagine that Prabhupada opens the door to your room and somehow or other he loves you because of your service and surrender to him. And he looks at you with affection. Imagine, in your mind, Prabhupada walks in and he looks at you with affection. What your heart will feel like. And we're not pure. But imagine those who have real deep love. So the cowherd boys, they're awoken by the love of Krishna and his glance. And then what happens? This is another aspect of the spiritual world. There's catharsis. Catharsis means a sense of spiritual oneness from having the same experience. This is in drama. Good drama causes catharsis. What? Because whatever the drama is, whether it's tragedy, whether it's humor, if it's so good, everyone will have that rasa or feeling, and you'll be feeling what everyone else is feeling, and there'll be a sense of oneness, a catharsis, of joy. So when the glance of Krishna, the devotees awaken up for the glance of Krishna, they all awaken up, and they have all felt Krishna's mercy and love, their kindness. And that's actually what the internet, what the Society of Krishna Consciousness should be. It should be a catharsis or oneness of devotees who are all receptive to and therefore feeling the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And therefore they're sharing the same love for God and for one another. That's the spiritual world. And of course, in this pastime, I'm not going to be able to tell the whole pastime today, but thank you, Baladev, for giving me this opportunity to speak directly about Krishna. But one of the things I like, to give you an interest, so Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, and he's about to die, and what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is moving towards Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So when Krishna is in some type of difficulty, then Vrindavan, there are omens of Krishna's difficulty. And what are the omens? Meteors fall from the sky, the ground trembles, and the left eye shakes. So all the residents of Vrindavan are in their village. Krishna went out. Every day he goes out. And it's very heart-rendering. When Krishna leaves, you can imagine the hill of Nandagram. Nandakeya Nandabhaya Jaikaneya Lalki Nandakeya Nandabhaya Jaikaneya Lalki Jaikaneya Lalki Jaikaneya Lalki Hati Diya Gora Diya Or Diya Palaki Nandakeya. So Krishna is leaving. And the far, how wonderful it is, and the resonance, how much separation they're feeling. So now they're in their village, they're already missing Krishna. And then they see these omens, and every resident thinks, no, something's happened to Krishna. And what happens to their love? It increases. And what is their love? Their love is the pleasure potency of Krishna. It's Krishna's pleasure is love. And that love is in different flavors. So the spiritual world, Krishna's in the center. Everyone's united in love with him, although the love has unique flavors according to one's relationship with Krishna and the particular lila they are experiencing with Krishna at the time. So this love is pouring from their hearts. This is one of my favorite scenes here. So it happens, so it says every single resident of Vrindavan began to leave to search for Krishna. And the parents of Krishna were beginning to lament for Krishna. You can see this is Vatsalya Bhav, Anugraha, the compassion, the love they had for their son. They were lamenting for Krishna as a cow is lamenting for their calf who has fallen in a ditch or is in trouble. So each of the residents of Vrindavan runs out of the village, but how are they going to find Krishna? Well, they know one thing, that the sands of Vrindavan are like very nice powder, and that Krishna's footprints make an imprint in the sand, and that no one will remove those footprints. So like great yogis, this is real discrimination. They're on their hands and their knees, and they're looking for Krishna's footprints. And when they're looking for Krishna's footprints, that's an udipan. Udipan means it's like a match, something that lights their love. So they're looking at and all the signs of Krishna's footprints, his different signs, and according to their relationship, they're crying in anxiety and separation from Krishna. So the parents are on the ground, and they're crying in their hearts, my son, my son, my son. That's the flavor of their love, which Krishna is enjoying. And then the friends are looking for his footprints and saying, my friend, my amigo, my friend, my friend, my friend. And the gopis, they're seeing, they're also searching now, and they're saying, my lover, my lover, my lover, hey Krishna, hey Krishna. Hey Krishna, 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 hey Krishna, 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 Pahima, Krishna, Radu, 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 Rama, Radhava, Rama, Radhava, Rama, Radhava, Rakshama, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Pahima, Krishna, protect me. So, and then the scene, my God, when each of the people come, and they finally come to the shore of the river, and they see everyone around the river who's died from the poison, practically. And they're, you know, Nanda Maharaj is frantic, and each of the persons reacts in their relationship with Krishna. Even the cows, when they come, the residents of Vrindavan, they see all the cows circling around the lake, the Jamuna Lake, Kaliya Doha, and the cows around the lake, Krishna, Krishna. And then Mother Yasoda tries to run in the water to save her son. And the other women who love Krishna just as much as she does, they hold her back because they love their love for Krishna. Naturally, they love Krishna's mother. And they try to pacify the mother by singing songs of Krishna killing the demons. Vibhava risesha aloka probesha nidhitsari uta jiva bolo hari hari mukunda murari rama krishna jiva putana gatana. Sing all the songs of Krishna killing the demons. Mother Yasoda, please be passive. And Mother Yasoda faints, which is called Satsika Bhav. So all these intense emotions are just expressions of love for Krishna, which is the essence of the pleasure potency. And all the leelas of Vrindavan are to create the pastimes that invoke the deepest sentiments of the heart. And that's the spiritual world. On an external level, it may look mythological, but actually, from our perspective, but it's actually a very reasonable conception of the highest reality, which is intense love, which is intense pleasure. That's our experience in this world. Our experience in this world is that we're happiest when our hearts are filled with the most love. So in the spiritual world, the leelas, the gopis are looking at Krishna, and then they're starting to remember what? They're remembering his smile, their loving dealings with him, and therefore, what is it called? Tapta dukam shunyam. They're tormented, and then what happens? Their world becomes vacant. This is spiritual depression. It's depression out of love. They love Krishna. Krishna is near death, and without Krishna, who's my life, I have no life. It's the highest intense expression of love. So the leela, you see, all the leela, the pastimes, the devotees, all Krishna's at the center, and their emotions and expressions for Krishna intensified. Anyway, that's one of my favorite pastimes. Thank you, Valadeva. Thank you so much. I could have went on, but I'll do that. Any other questions, or anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Do we actually have time for a question?
Okay.
Not really.
okay, we'll see how much energy I have. Go ahead. Okay, what's your question?
You were saying how, Krishna creates this world for the purpose of, so that we can become self-realized by hearing about his pastimes and so on.
Well, it also creates the ground for hearing. There's also a frustration, a natural frustration in this world of the false ego. And that's also important to take shelter of Krishna. And without Sharanagati, we won't engage. Sharanagati means taking shelter of our relationship with Krishna. So it also frustrates, it also exposes that there is no shelter but Krishna. There's many reasons how this world works. And that's one of it's all connected to that ultimately.
I'm getting a glimpse through that answer. That because my problem was to reconcile the fact that on one hand he creates this world to fulfill our fantasy, you know, to be the enjoyer and controller.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he creates it so that, you know, we can realize who we are, you know, so it seems like contradictory.
Well,
you know?
The way it's resolved is this. Sometime to bring someone to a particular understanding of truth. You do it. It's classic example is the, you know, a person has a nice family, et cetera, and the father's very wealthy and he'll take care of him. There's so much love. Then they give them the freedom. All right, you go outside. This is what you think is enjoyment, to be the controller, et cetera. Now go outside, and you go ahead. You have my permission, and then you experience how what you think will fulfill the self is actually external to the self. But until you get an opportunity to test whether or not your desire is actually the source of your fulfillment, you won't give up that desire. The Amish have this thing with their, because the Amish are what are called Anabaptists. They're against baptism, that at birth you become God conscious. They believe you have to make a conscious choice at maturity. Therefore, they're called Anabaptists. I guess it's against baptism. So they have a thing when their children are 17. I'm not making a social commentary, taking it in a broad way. When their children are 17, they are given freedom to do whatever they want. And at that particular time, I saw this documentary on the Amish children. You know, they start taking drugs. They start going to rock concerts. They drive cars. And the parents say, okay, it's actually allowed. Because they have to make a choice then, whether or not they want to be baptized. Or for them, they'll be rejected completely from their families and communities. So there's another element. But the purpose of doing that is to expose that what you were hankering for is not real. What you're hankering for will not satisfy you. So that's kind of the connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Is anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Prabha here.
Okay, Prabha. Thank you for coming on our Sanghas. Thank you.
Thanks, Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else? What's that?
Thank you for the class.
Okay, good, good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Prabha, did they have that kirtan today?
Yeah, we did.
Did my friend come?
Today, Shavnananda Prabhu came. Kalpavriksha Prabhu has some problems, so he couldn't come.
Okay, did that Sandipani Muni come today?
No, he didn't.
Okay, well, he came to a program I did. I'm sure he'll come again. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Bhagavati.
Hare Krishna. Bhagavati, I'm most likely going to come to Gita Nagari on July 4th.
Wonderful.
I sent you a message. Did you get it?
Yes, I got it. Thanks.
Okay, good. Hopefully I'll see you there.
Yep.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else? Okay, then we will end for today. Thank you all for coming. Nice to hear from you, Baladev. Thank you. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhya Sakra Pisandu Devi Chakati Karam Pavi.
Nice to hear from you, Maharaj.
Thank you.